Well, I love the Word of God, and I know you do too. And we're going to read some of those passages of Scripture this morning that relate to this topic, because I know the Word of God speaks more clearly to this theme better than any words I could come up with. The Word of God doesn't need a lot of help to infuse itself into our lives. And so we're going to read those Scriptures together, and we're starting in the book of James. And this is how it's going to work this morning. I'll read the white print, ladies read the purple, men read the green, and together we'll read the yellow. So, ladies purple, guys green, together we'll read the yellow. If you're participating from home, welcome. I hope you do feel welcome and part of us this morning. No judgment. You divide up the Scripture however it works for your family, but the expectation this morning is y'all's at church. So please read the Word of God with us and participate to the best of your ability. So we're going to start with James chapter 1. James chapter 1, James is talking about how are we supposed to read the Word of God and apply it to our lives? How do we read the Scriptures and find practical application in the Scriptures? And he says this, don't just listen to God's Word. You must do what it says, otherwise you're only fooling yourselves. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Caring for orphans and widows in their distress. While Jesus was here on earth, orphans and widows were two of the largest groups of people in need. A third would have been lepers, mentioned many times in those same scriptures. And so people that are in need, people that are poor, people that are on the fringe of society for whatever reason, people in real need. Today we would say the marginalized. These are marginalized people. And we have advanced so much in the 2,000 plus years since Jesus was on earth with us. We've advanced so far that we've managed to marginalize way more people. Shameful. But we have the poor. We will always have the poor. Homeless people. In Canada, some of our First Nations groups, marginalized. People with a different lifestyle. People with addictions issues. People in prison. And sadly, through this pandemic, we've come to realize that we have managed to marginalize some of our seniors. The marginalized, people on the edge or the fringes of society for whatever reason, disadvantaged. I find it interesting that James in this passage starts off talking about how do we read the Word of God and apply it to our lives? What is the practical application of the Word of God? And within just a few sentences, boils it down, distills it for us into this. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father is take care of them. Take care of the marginalized, the widows and the orphans in their distress. And I believe that if we're going to do that, we need to find a way to make it personal. We need to have the statistics. We need to have the knowledge of what's going on in the world. But as soon as we make it personal, we're motivated to do something about it. And it burns within us. And so, as much as it is important to get these things in our heart, the first step for us as a family, and this is my testimony, is it became personal for us many years ago when we sponsored our first child through Compassion. Little Ricky was in Nicaragua, and when we stepped out in faith and sponsored him as a family and started writing letters back and forth and our kids got engaged, poverty issues became personal for us. And that has led, over many years, to me now traveling all across this great country of ours, sharing these messages with churches to say, we need to make these issues personal, whatever that means for you, because that's what will motivate us to do something about these situations as the Scriptures instruct us to. I realized as we wrote those letters back and forth and the pictures went back and forth that Ricky needed our words of affirmation every bit as much as he needed our financial support, because Ricky had no goals. Ricky had no dreams. He couldn't see past his circumstance. And I've become convinced in my travels over the years that poverty is not the absence of money. That's our construct. That's what we who have think poverty means you don't have money. Poverty, true poverty, is the absence of hope. It's the absence of the thought that anything will ever get better. Your circumstances dominate your life, and it becomes self-fulfilling prophecy. And when you introduce hope, especially the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ, into those darkened corners, lives are changed. But we saw our lives change on this side, and our attitudes change as we got to know Ricky, as we started praying for Ricky and doing these interchanges. And, you know, those pictures on the fridge, it's a little cliche, but the picture on the fridge wasn't just a reminder to pray for Ricky. It's a reminder that we don't live for ourselves. We have a higher calling as followers of Jesus to reach out and turn this world onto the gospel. So through the work of compassion, through our small sacrifice, I've seen firsthand that Ricky and all our sponsored children, all your sponsored children, have food and clothing and education and healthcare. They have a Christian tutor who walks beside them, who helps them with their schoolwork, but infuses the gospel into their life in practical ways. They have a pastor, a local church. Every single compassion project in 25 countries around this world, every single child development program for compassion is a local church, just like yours, just like mine, but they've opened their doors to children in need. And more than anything, the pastor walking beside them, speaking into their life, praying for them, they know those families, and the children have hope. And they've got dreams, and they've got us. And when you can find the opportunity to take care of the injustice, take care of the poverty, and reach into those situations of hopelessness and bring all those humanitarian needs and at the same time advance God's kingdom by speaking the word of God into children's lives, that is a win-win. And I know Mount Olive is a mission-focused church. I know many of you here already sponsor one or more compassion children, and I need to say a sincere thank you this morning for being faithful partners with compassion. You are compassion. We together are the church, and we're making a difference in this world, one child at a time. And I'll go further and say this morning that connecting your child and their family to a local church during this time of pandemic is really one of the greatest gifts that you could ever give them. You literally sustained lives through this pandemic through your faithfulness, and thank you so much for that. I can tell you firsthand, Pastor Alvin and your elders, your church leaders can confirm for you, compassion does what it says it does. Compassion partners with churches here in Canada and around the world in developing countries to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. And that's going to be your opportunity this morning. One person like you, like me, by making a small sacrifice and by being faithful with what we've been blessed with, we may not be able to change the whole world, but we can absolutely change the world for one little boy or one little girl in need somewhere in the world. I'm not going to presume to know where you are financially this morning. I don't know if the thought of sponsoring another child for you is a large sacrifice or a small sacrifice, or if I just scared you. No one left the building, so that's good. But I do know this. We live in an affluent society. And I've shared these statistics before, but these are pre-COVID statistics on global poverty. Nearly half the world's population, almost 3 billion people, live on less than $2.50 a day. The World Health Organization tells us that 1.3 billion, with a B, people live in extreme poverty, which is $1.25 a day. Subsistence living. And it doesn't get much better for that. Pre-COVID, 80% of the world lives on $10 a day. So I don't know much. The older I get, the more I realize I know less. But I do know this. That's not us. $10 a day is not us. So what do we do with that? Well, we're not the first society to struggle with issues of affluence and wealth. In the Old Testament, the prophet Micah was speaking to people who were dealing with the same issues. Now, their situation that many years ago looked a little different than ours, but the same issue. The realization that there are people in need, we have, what do we do? Prophet Micah said this, "What can we bring to the Lord? Should we bring him burnt offerings? Should we bow before God Most High with offerings of yearling calves? Should we offer him thousands of rams or 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Should we sacrifice our firstborn children to pay for our sins? No, O people," let's read it together, "the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." See, I believe the scriptures are abundantly clear what our Christian response is in the face of poverty, in the face of injustice, and the devastation that we see around us. We, as Christ followers, humbly walking with God, should be rising together to live lives of caring and generosity, lives of compassion. It's not necessarily in our natural character, but it is in God's character. And as we learn to make these issues personal, as the fire starts to burn within us and we feel compelled to do something about the situations we see, to do something and allow our hearts to be broken by the things that break God's heart, our character starts to reflect God's character. And as we support a holistic child development program that raises future leaders, community leaders, church leaders, it elevates the position of the church in the community, and God gets the glory. It's not about building compassion's kingdom. It's about building God's kingdom. It allows the church to be the church here at home and overseas. And we do all of this not in our own strength, but in the power of the one who sends us. Do what is right, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. See, God doesn't want your money. God wants your heart. He knows you. He made you. Where your heart goes, everything else falls into place. Where your heart leads the way, your money, your time, your energy, your passion, they all follow. Here's how it works with compassion. $41 a month and $51 a month. Those are the two plans that compassion offers. The $41 fully takes care of the needs of your child, puts them into that child development project, that local church, brings all the humanitarian things and the gospel, as I've mentioned already. If you know you've been blessed and you can afford the extra $10 for the $51 plan, the $10 goes to urgent needs. It goes to special programs. It could be disaster relief. It could be mosquito nets or immunization projects or water treatment systems. It may not even be in the community that your child lives, but it's for the greater good of the project. And we are so passionate that the $41 goes to directly meet the needs of your child, that $10 allows all kinds of room for us to administer these bigger programs. Here's how it really works. At least this is how it worked for us as a family. It's a stretch. When we sponsored Ricky and subsequently other children, every time, it wasn't in the budget. It was an act of faith over and above. But every single time, God was more than faithful in our lives. That's my testimony. This is not your tithe. If you belong to this church, if you're a regular attender, here in person or online, if you belong to this church body, you have a responsibility to its ministries, and it has many ministries. That is your obligation. This is done over and above. This is done out of the goodness that we know God keeps pouring into our lives. So if you feel prompted this morning at any point to reach out to a child in need, to pick up one of those child packs on the table and follow through, I just encourage you to act on it, and don't let this morning's opportunity pass you by. When you start a relationship this morning, it could literally last for eternity as you have the opportunity to pour into that child. Compassion is a direct child sponsorship organization, meaning you will be the only person that sponsors that child. You can have a relationship through correspondence. It's not the design of the program, but I got to meet Ricky and Hilary. And just before this craziness started in January of 2019, I was in Colombia, like a week before we locked down for the first time. And I got to meet our beautiful Hani in Colombia, who's just about, or was just about to graduate from university. And what a thrill. And I was a little leaky. There was a lot of dust in Colombia, and my eyes were pretty continually leaking on me, but it was just amazing to see what God does with our small sacrifice. And the fact that God allows us to partner with him in advancing his kingdom, he doesn't need us, but he allows us to partner because he knows it's good for us. And that was amazing. So sadly, as we shift gears, global poverty numbers that I referenced earlier were all pre-COVID-19. And I'm sure you're all wondering, and so I'm going to update you on what's been happening to compassion and through compassion during this COVID-19 pandemic. So first, I need a little context. I need to share that my family, like many of yours, has been impacted by the pandemic. We've experienced a lot. We've had health problems, unemployment, separation from family and loved ones. Jennifer and I are blessed to have all four of our parents living, not just living, that's awesome, all by itself, but they're living in our community where we can have interaction with them. And sadly, 3 out of 4 of our parents were in the hospital at some point during COVID, and at points where we couldn't be there with them, one spouse at a time, one parent at a time. And both dads have had cancer diagnoses through COVID and chemo and radiation and multiple trips. Jen's dad just had open heart surgery 5 weeks ago and decided to have a stroke last week. We have not been unaffected by COVID and restrictions. Jennifer and I have become pretty much full-time caregivers for our parents at this stage in life. And we've been doing all the grocery shopping and prescriptions and errands and physical tasks around the house since the pandemic began. For those of you keeping track, that's been 16 months now. And my parents have not been in a grocery store since January a year ago. And so trying to explain to them in the early days of the closures and lockdowns, trying to explain to them that you stand in line to get into a store, that's one concept, but then you get there and the shelves are somewhat empty, and there's lineups there, and there's directional arrows down the rows, and there's mask shaming, and there's all the things that go with what we've had. Sometimes better, sometimes worse. We've ebbed and flowed. But all my COVID shopping experiences could be summarized as surreal or inconvenient. We were worried that we'd run out of toilet paper, but we didn't run out of toilet paper. Some days there was milk, some days there's eggs. Try explaining to your 84-year-old mother that, no, there's no eggs. Maybe next time. And she just couldn't imagine that scenario because she'd never seen it. I did discover through all of this that God did not build within me a capacity for waiting patiently in line. That's just not something I'm good at. We've said some things wrong. We've done some things wrong. Everyone's doing the best they can. I get that. But we say socially distant, when we mean physically distant. People have needed social interaction more through this than ever, and sadly, some of our seniors in particular, some that maybe don't have access to technology, have been very isolated through this. We mean physical distance. So when you hear that, please flip it in your head and call somebody, or Facebook somebody, or whatever you do, and just reach out to the people around you. We need each other more than ever. But the thing that really gets me riled up is when our leaders say, we're all in the same boat. My friends, we are not in the same boat, not even close. We're in the same storm. but our boats are very different. Some are in yachts with crew. Some are in fishing boats and canoes and kayaks and huckleberry fin rafts. Some are clinging to boards or pieces of garbage. And some people have nothing, nothing to cling to through this storm. In developing country, people in poverty are literally dying, not just from COVID, but from the economic disaster in this pandemic's wake. While COVID-19 has affected us all, it's been absolutely devastating for people living in poverty. For them, everything is amplified. Everything is magnified. The risk, the fear, the uncertainty, the life and death realities. There is no safety net for families in developing countries living in poverty. Here are some of the bleak realities. I'm going to rely on my notes because some of these are pretty recent statistics, but the bottom line is this: physical distancing is nearly impossible for people living in crowded urban slums. If you're living with 12 people in a one-room house, do the math. Natural disasters didn't get the memo. Natural disasters did not take a break during this pandemic. We've had floods, typhoons, volcanoes, earthquakes. Those all still happen in the midst of all of this. Many of Compassion's beneficiary households are out of work. They need to work in order to eat, but they can't work due to restrictions. There's no reserve. There's no government check coming. All of Compassion's 2.1 million children have had their schooling affected. Not their schooling affected like stay in your room and be on your laptop. In many of these communities, it's schools are closed. And it's been going on for a long time. Globally, all those numbers I mentioned before, out the window. Before COVID, pre-COVID, we were making real progress. Now with the pandemic, experts predict that over 30 years of development progress could be wiped out because of the ripple effects of COVID-19. For the first time since 1998, global poverty has increased instead of decreased. That's according to the World Bank. Millions more people living below the poverty line. It's estimated that global hunger will more than double by the end of the pandemic, whenever that is. Additional 130 million people pushed the brink of starvation. So last fall, midway through the pandemic, we hope, Compassion Canada's president, Allison Alley, tweeted out this. COVID-19-related hunger has been linked to 10,000 child deaths per month. The numbers are so huge, it's hard to make sense of them. And my heart broke. Those aren't the headlines here. We're squabbling about which province gets what and how hard our lives are. But while children aren't able to go to church right now, the church is going to them. Compassion has pivoted. Those relationships with the local church, they're more important now than ever. Whether it's personal home visits or checking in through social media or mobile devices, however they can get a hold of these households, they are making church go to the people. Funds previously used at child development centers are now being used to provide children and their families with necessities: food, clean water, shelter, clothing, household items, medical care, and trauma counseling. See, no work equals no money. No money, no food. So we're helping with those needs: food and clean water. Without work, our families are being evicted from their homes. They can't pay the rent. Now you have homeless families that don't have food. And so we're stepping in with that and helping with those needs as well. Obviously, during the pandemic, access to medical care is essential, and Compassion is helping provide much of that needed care. Sadly, child physical and sexual abuse has nearly doubled since pre-COVID-19 and COVID-19 hit. Funding is in place for counseling, but also for preventative measures wherever that's possible. And that's one of the many aspects where the model of Compassion working through the local churches has been so effective. And it's so crucial right now. Compassion's local churches and partners around the world were serving their neighborhoods way before COVID hit, and they will be there long time after. They know the names and the faces of the children and their families. They know the community. They know the context. And wherever the need is greatest, they are poised for action. So I'm here to tell you this morning that our commitment is that we won't stop. We will serve children in need. We'll find new ways for program delivery and education. We'll continue to ensure that children are known and loved and protected when they need us most. Because we are the church. And together, we will rise as one. How can we be praying for this situation? Well, you need to pray earnestly for protection from the virus, for all the children that are registered in Compassion and their families. Pray for health and safety of our staff in the international and national offices so they can do the job they're called to do. Pray for children that are longing for a sponsor to be encouraged and loved and cared for during this long wait. And also please pray for sponsors and their families all around the world, just like you, who've been impacted by the virus. The need has never been greater. And it's all right to pray with your eyes open this morning, because that's what we're going to do. We're going to join in the prayer of some of our sponsored children and leaders around the world as they pray for each other and pray for you. Let's pray together.
Xavier Abbott, en nombre de Dios, le damos gracias, Señor, porque tú el día de hoy nos permitiste abrir nuestros ojos.
Nos podrá reaccionar como una señal mata.
Vishishmaha, coronavirus, cura, habadi.
I believe that you are the only one who could stop this.
በኢየሱስ ስም እኛንም ጌታ ሆይ በመድረስ ዙሪያ ያሉት ሁሉ ስፖንሰሮችን
ተጠብቀው
ተጠብቀው ተጠብቀው ተጠብቀው ተጠብቀው ተጠብቀው ተጠብቀው
ተጠብቀው
ተጠብቀው
Suple las necesidades que ellos puedan estar atravesando.
Remove all fears from our hearts.
Nosotros caminamos por fe y no por vista, Señor.
Sí, porque si el coronavirus es yo no
Tú tienes el control.
We pray, Lord, that the leaders around this world.
Nos pedimos que se hubiera control de las.
Lord, we need your wisdom, your guidance.
En dank u wel dat u onze schuilplaats bent.
Lord Jesus, we ask this in your name.
Amen.
Let's stand together and read one of the most direct passages I can find in God's word about this topic. These are the words of Jesus himself, as recorded in Matthew 25. And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Amen. You may be seated. Well, friends, this is the church's moment to shine. When your heart starts to break with the things that break God's heart, you see opportunities for sharing and service everywhere. I want you to hear firsthand testimony of a Compassion child this morning. Because when we see and respond to a picture of a child in need, God sees that child's potential. The scriptures tell us that he already knows the plans he has for them. And we may be part of that plan. Let's hear Jennifer's story.
I am Jennifer Gitiri and I'm from Kenya. Growing up with a single parent in the slum was very, very difficult for me. Really living hand to mouth, because if my mom went to look for employment or even wash other people's clothes, if she came in the evening with a dollar, that's what we would use to buy a meal and eat at that particular time. If we wake up tomorrow, there's nothing to eat, then we'd take a glass of water and run to school. but Compassion, I opened a project at a church near our home. And for the first time as a young girl, I saw hope. Compassion provided for everything. They gave me books. When I was sick, Compassion would pay for my medical care. And I'm also thankful to my sponsor, who was very, very encouraging. You know, just writing letters of encouragement, telling me that you can make it, you can do it. Your past should not determine your future. I believe my sponsors were God-sent.
When we wrote to Jennifer, it was important to let her know that we really cared about her. I just said what a mother would say. You know, we're so proud of you. We're so proud that your grade card is good and that you've done such a good job.
I remember vividly our neighbor's child was raped. The child was 10 years. And these were the kind of things that I saw growing up that really made me decide to be a lawyer, someone who could speak for the rights of those who cannot speak for themselves. The beginning of this year, I joined the Kenya School of Law so that now I can be admitted into the bar and become an advocate in the High Court of Kenya. This summer, I went to the United States of America to be an advocate. I shared passionately about my story and how my sponsors had made a difference in my life, and they were brought on stage.
Here they are.
It was life-changing just to see those two people who'd sacrificed their resources, who used to pray for me, who used to encourage me. So for me to see these two people was just amazing.
Compassion gave us the opportunity to reach halfway around the world to rescue one little girl from whatever the future might have had in store for her.
It makes me cry all the time when I think of how far God has brought me, you know, from the ditches of poverty to this.
Today I am here as proof that indeed Compassion releases children from poverty in Jesus' name. My children will never live in poverty. My children will know the word of God. And when I look at the packets at the Compassion booth, my heart is broken. Because 17 years ago, my face was in that packet.
We serve an awesome God. Stories like that should break our heart and at the same time motivate us to more acts of caring and generosity. Whether it's across your fence or whether it's across the world. I'll leave you with this question to wrestle with this week, as I wrestle with it this week and every week. If the current pandemic hasn't forced you to reflect and reconcile and confirm what you believe, what's it going to take? These have been trying times for us and many others, and we need to solidify our mission, our goal. In life, not in church, in life out there. The scriptures are clear. What a Christian response should be in the face of poverty and the need we see around us. As we strive to live lives of caring and generosity, I challenge you in Christian love, do something this week in the name of Jesus. The opportunity in front of you this morning couldn't be easier. We've brought children in need to you. Those faces, those pictures on those packages in the foyer, they're not representative of a project somewhere. It is that child that you can have a direct relationship for, that you can speak into and advance the kingdom of God in their lives. You will be their only sponsor, and it means the world to them. I encourage you to do for one child this morning what you wish you could do for the whole world.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We trust you have been encouraged and challenged in your faith journey. If you're desiring prayer, want more information on our church, want to partner with us, or be involved in any way, please go to our website at MountOliveEFC.com. We'll see you next time.